Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is a podcast from the South China Morning Post.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Inside China Tech. I'm Zhen Su, a technology reporter with the South China Morning Post. And today we are going to be talking about Lunar New Year and the technology associated with it. With me is Chua Kong Ho, the technology editor of the South China Morning Post.
Hi, everyone.
So in case you're not aware, we are currently in the Year of the Pig. It's the fourth day of the Lunar New Year. And basically, nobody in China is working because there's a week-long holiday for everyone to sort of go home and visit their relatives. So if you're not really aware of what Lunar New Year is, it's like the way I like to think about it is like it's like what Christmas is to America is what Lunar New Year is to China. So everyone sort of, it's like a festive holiday. People spend 15 days sort of feasting and meeting up with relatives. And yeah, so for myself, I went back to Singapore for a week. It was nice catching up with family. I think Kong Ho also had a couple of days off. Although, yeah. did you go back to Singapore, Kong Ho?
No, I stayed in Hong Kong this time.
So one big part of Lunar New Year is getting red packets, which in Cantonese, in Hong Kong, they call it lai si. But red packets basically are money, gifts of money that people put in like a red envelope. And it's meant to be good luck for the new year. How much lai si did you get this year, Kong Ho?
I just got one. One red packet from the company.
I didn't get
Yours is with me. Oh, okay. In my bag. I'll give it to you after this podcast.
I got many, many red packets, actually. I think I got like 30. So here Kong was going to explain to you why he only got one and I have like multiple, like tens of lai si.
It's because Zen is very popular. But no, it's because she's not married. And I think in most parts, in most Chinese communities worldwide, people who are married give red packets to those who are not relatives, friends. It's kind of like a symbol of entering adulthood and a way. Yeah, I mean, if you're a kid, you receive red packets, right? So if you're an adult, you get to give red packets, and it's a subtle way to also kind of humiliate those who aren't married and try to encourage them to be married. So.
I mean, personally, I have no shame. So like, at this point, I'm like almost 30. Like, just it's like free money every year. I'm just like, make it rain. Just give me the lai si. I don't care. People are like, when you're getting married, never, so I can get money forever. Stuff like that.
How do you get your lai si though? I mean, is it still in the traditional red packets, or you know, is it increasingly by a smartphone? And
yeah, so interestingly, that's like both ways, because in Singapore, I get physical lai si or like red packets when you visit relatives, or when relatives visit you, they give you like the physical hongbao, which is red packet in Mandarin. But in China, like if I have Chinese friends, the red packet often comes digitally. So it comes through WeChat. WeChat actually pioneered this digital red packet situation several years back. And it's sort of been like a turning point for people to give each other red packets, because right now you can just send, you know, people money, any amount of money. It really depends. In Singapore, I tend to get physical red packets. So it's literally like cash stuffed in red envelopes. So that's fun because then I have the money immediately. But I also have Chinese friends who sometimes send me money digitally. So it can either be on WeChat or like on Alipay, on apps like these, where it's like a small sum of money in a digital red packet situation. And then you can immediately sort of have it in your digital wallet or transfer it to your bank account.
Do you get as much joy receiving this virtual hongbao as the physical one? I mean, the real life ones.
Actually, I kind of like receiving the digital red packets more because it's become more fun now. Like, I think in WeChat, it's become sort of like a game, like in group chats, like people sort of give out digital red packets and then it's like a random amount of money that you get, like you click on it. You could get any, I mean, depending on how much the person puts in, but it randomly sort of assigns people that amount of money. So it's always fun to see how much money you get from a red packet. And it's like, sometimes it's a limited quantity, so people have to compete and, like, you know, it's like a fastest fingers first situation. So that's kind of fun. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of used to getting physical red packets anyway, because you get it since you're a kid, right? Like, everyone just gives you money. Eventually, it's not that fun. Yeah, but I think the Chinese apps have made it, like, they've gamified it, sort of.
I don't know. I mean, my four-year-old still loves getting red packets. I don't think she really has a concept of money yet. You know, so the red, you know, being bright and, you know, trying to find out what's inside. I mean, that's exciting for her. But I'm sure she will, you know, be very happy to receive, you know, money in, you know, digital form, by smartphone when she grows up. Money is money, right? So
we mean when she receives a red packet, she doesn't know that there's money inside. Like, it's just like, to her, it's like a present.
Yeah. I mean, she opens it and she finds there's money, but yeah. But I don't think she has a real concept of money.
Yeah, I think for kids, like, very often, like, during Chinese New Year, it's very much about, like snacks or, like, food that you get to eat when you visit relatives, because there are all these, like, Chinese New Year goodies that people put out during the festive season. So as a child, I used to love visiting relatives because, you know, they would have sweets and candy and chocolate. And, you know, generally during this period of time, parents don't really restrict their kids to be like, okay, you can only have like 5 pieces of candy or whatever. They generally let kids do whatever they want. So that's kind of fun. Okay, so Kong Ho, you often have to give out Lai Si to people. Do you give it out in physical form or digital form more nowadays?
Well, it depends. It depends on who I give it to. I mean, you know, if, like you said, if it's friends, or colleagues on the mainland, you know, just because it's a physical distance, it's difficult, if not impossible, to actually give physical red packets. So, you know, the digital ones work. I just gave out red packets to our team.
Yay! We got red packets. It was very fun. It's free money from our boss. Basically, you know, so in Hong Kong, I think especially, there is this tradition where, like, managers or supervisors tend to give their subordinates, like, red packets over Lunar New Year.
But you know, the popularity of virtual or digital hongbaos is, I mean, is also because of the popularity of mobile payments in China. I don't think you really can send money to, you know, your friends if you do not already do it on a day-to-day basis. As you know, in China, I mean, people basically use their smartphones to pay for almost anything. I mean, grocery, shopping, bills. It literally is just, a tap of the smartphone, or, you know, just scan the barcode, you know, at the 7-Eleven. So it doesn't really take that much of a leap to go from, you know, paying for a drink at a convenience store to, you know, just sending money in the form of a hongbao to your friends or relatives during Chinese New Year or Lunar New Year.
So to give you an idea of the scale of this sort of sending red packets practice over, you know, digitally, last year in 2018, 688 million people either sent or received red packets on WeChat. That's twice the population size of the US, basically. And this year, the official numbers hasn't come out yet for Tencent or Alipay, but these companies have basically sort of used this red packet practice to also gain users and sort of engage with their users. So Alipay this year, they actually prepared 500 million yuan for, like, sort of like a red packet game situation where users can, you know, the more that they use their Alipay to pay for things, they can collect stamps. And if you collect, like, a set of 5 stamps in total, you are able to get, like, a small red packet when Lunar New Year strikes, basically. And that amount can range from several, you know, like, just a few yuan to, like, a couple tens of yuan. So that's kind of fun. Baidu basically worked together with the Spring Festival Gala. So the Spring Festival Gala, it's, like, the most watched TV program of the year, where everyone basically tunes in, watches, like, performances, singing and dancing. the night before Lunar New Year, on Lunar New Year's Eve. So Baidu basically worked with Chunwan, or the gala, to give out over a billion yuan in red packets to viewers. So this has sort of become like a way for them to encourage people to use their platform, to engage with their users, to kind of build user stickiness. It's become a platform basically for not just users to send money to each other, you know, on this festive holiday, but also to promote the different platforms, basically.
So Zen, do you think this phenomenon of sending hongbaos is just going to be restricted to Lunar New Year, or can it be more widespread?
Yeah, currently I think it's getting more widespread because it's not just Lunar New Year anymore. Of course, Lunar New Year is the time where people send and receive the most red packets, but now this sort of practice sometimes, like, it's gone to, like, if you have your friend is having a birthday, you can send money on their birthday, and this money can immediately go to their wallet, right? So they can spend this money immediately in, like, shops to buy, you know, food in a restaurant or to go shopping. So yeah, and it's pretty interesting the way that mobile payments and red packets have sort of evolved over the years.
It's kind of funny if you think, you know, we are here in Hong Kong, which, you know, prides itself as a financial center. But in terms of mobile payments, I think it's far behind the mainland. You know, I still have to dig out, or, you know, fish out coins to pay bills if they're in loose change. You know, many places do not accept mobile payments. I mean, they still do credit cards and all that. So I guess it's because in the mainland, they kind of skip the credit card. I mean, they skip one generation where they go from cash right on to smartphones, and kind of skip the, you know, the intermediate stage where, you know, the stage where we would be familiar with, which is kind of like credit cards, debit cards. So everything is just, you know, tap and go.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Hong Kong is, you know, a very mature society in terms of payment methods. And, you know, I think the average Hong Konger has like 4 credit cards. But even companies right now, like Tencent, WeChat Pay, or Ant Financial's Alipay, also just a disclaimer, Ant Financial is an affiliate of Alibaba, which is the parent company of the South China Morning Post. So usual disclaimer. But these two companies have also been making big strides in Hong Kong. They have basically pushed out very aggressively to expand to different merchants. And this year, I think Alipay even allows Hong Kong users to send red packets to each other. And they've also had like games for Hong Kong users to play to sort of win like red packet money from Alipay. So there's definitely that kind of push towards trying to move Hong Kong into more of a mobile payment society versus like a, like you said, like a cash is king sort of situation that's been going on for years.
Do you think there's widespread resistance to using mobile payments here in Hong Kong, maybe even in Singapore? Or is it just a matter of, you know, there are not that many vendors or merchants accepting it?
I think in Hong Kong, at least, most of the concerns stem from privacy concerns. I think there are some people who are you know, concerned about tech companies knowing where they're spending the money or how much data, you know, is being collected by these Chinese tech companies. So there is some skepticism and doubt regarding that. But there are also, you know, like a group of people who are welcoming of this and happy to use it, because lots of times, like companies like WeChat or Alipay in Hong Kong, they offer like great promotions. Like if you spend like at least $15 per transaction, they give you a stamp, and if you get 3 stamps, you get like a discount, like a $3 off your next purchase. So that also sort of drives usage in cities like Hong Kong. So I think that you can definitely see that more and more restaurants, you know, whether it's like McDonald's or convenience stores, they're now accepting both WeChat and Alipay in Hong Kong. You know, we're just going to bring it back to Lunar New Year, since this is supposed to be our Lunar New Year episode. So, like, red packet technology and, like, mobile payments is just one part of Lunar New Year. But the other part of Lunar New Year that is really big is this sort of, like, migration, the huge human migration across China. So, Kong Ho, are you aware of some of the technology that has help to facilitate this human migration. It's supposed to be like the largest in the world. Like people make 3 billion trips in 40 days, like across China. So it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, one of the things you learn from living in China is if you don't have a good reason to travel during the Spring Festival travel period, which basically is about 40 days with the holiday in between, then don't, because literally hundreds of millions of people have a good reason to travel. A lot of them may be working in another place and going back to the hometown to celebrate Lunar New Year with their family. And this all makes for a huge logistical jam, which, you know, the various authorities in China have been trying to alleviate with the use of technology. Now, one of them, obviously, is how do you get tickets? I remember when I was living in Shanghai, at the Shanghai Railway Station, there would be long lines of people queuing up weeks in advance to try to get train tickets home. And, you know, Lunar New Year is basically deep winter, right? I mean, it's right before spring, so it can get pretty cold and wet in Shanghai. And so it's no fun queuing up in the cold wind to try to get tickets. Now, what has happened is that a lot of this is now moved online to smartphone apps and websites so that people, you know, in theory, are able to book their tickets in the comforts of the home. Yeah, but from what I understand, it's not that easy trying to get the ticket that you want on the day that you want, on the train that you want, because obviously it's kind of like a fastest fingers first. It's not easy if you think about, you know, so many people wanting to get on the train. And of course, for those who are not as technologically savvy, they have a bigger hurdle to clear. If you think of some of the people who want to go home, some of them may not know how to use a smartphone app or navigate, you know, the different terms and conditions of the app.
Yeah, I think this has also sort of come to show how far China has come in terms of technology, because like Hong Ho said, before everything was done manually. So I used to live in Beijing in 2011, like while I was a student, and this was before you know, China launched its online ticketing system for its railways. So what we had to do every time we wanted to buy a ticket was, you know, go and queue at a stand and then hope that the ticket is available. There's no way to check for availability. You literally have to go there and be like, is this train available? And they're like, yes or no. If it's not available, you just come back the next day and try to queue for another ticket, you know. So,
and there'll be like 100 people trying to cut your queue, right?
Yeah. So it's like really frustrating. And like, thank goodness for me, I've never tried to travel by train over Chinese New Year, but like obviously for other peak seasons, like Golden Week in October, you know, we crawl out of bed at like 8 a.m. and then try and queue and get a ticket. Like it's really ridiculous. And this was before China instituted this like real name sort of like system. So like people, you know, like scalpers would go and buy up all the tickets and then sell it at ridiculous prices.
8 a.m. is not really that early.
I mean, it's kind of early at the time we like went to work at 10 a.m. So like 8 a.m. was fairly early. And we had to like travel to the ticket stand. It was really annoying. Anyway, so it's sort of like, okay, so China launched that online ticketing system in 2012. So, you know, from 2012 to 2019. When they first launched it, it was like a huge failure. Like it crashed and everything. But within like 7 years now, I think the infrastructure has improved. And there are lots of like apps now. There's this one app called Gaotieguanjia, which is like an app where it would like automatically sort of bid for tickets for you or buy a ticket for you when it's available. And all you have to do is like pay a service fee of like 30 yuan or thereabouts, which is really nothing in the grand scheme of things, because it saves you sort of like the hassle of like trying to buy the tickets for yourself. Because you have to remember that even though everything is online, the moment the tickets are released, like millions and millions and tens of millions or hundreds of millions of people are trying to buy tickets at the same time. So, you know, it is not a guarantee that you definitely get what you want. Yeah, and now I think there are lots of Chinese travel agencies that are also able to buy tickets for you. Am I right?
Yeah, but you know, the 30 yuan may not mean a lot to, you know, most of the white collar workers, but you know, they do. It's still quite a big sum for a lot of the for a lot of people who want to get home.
Yeah, so this, I think, especially affects like the migrant workers or people in sort of more maybe remote areas or cities, or people who are not, you know, necessarily in a first tier or second tier sort of cities. Maybe they don't have, you know, smartphones or the elderly even, who may not know how to use technology. I think these people are actually the worst affected by this whole sort of technology advancement, because they don't know how to use these apps. They still try to physically go queue to buy tickets, and very often these tickets are sold out, you know, because everyone's buying them online. So yeah, kind of something to bear in mind, I guess, when we're talking about technology advancements in China. So Kong Ho, what other technology is used for like this sort of human migration, like facial recognition technology?
Yeah, facial recognition is increasingly being deployed at major transportation hubs, like railway stations, to manage the flow of people. As we talked about earlier, that there are a lot of people trying to get to different places, and it can be a nightmare trying to match identity to your ticket, because to prevent touting, China required that if you are to travel, you have to be the one with the ID buying the ticket. But trying to authenticate it when, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of people are pushing behind you is next to impossible. Which is where facial recognition comes in, because you're able to match your face to your identity, and it helps to manage the flow much better. But of course, there are people who are worried about the privacy how this technology is used.
So it sounds like there's kind of like a delicate balance between sort of using technology to improve efficiency versus sort of mass surveillance, because we have also read reports where, you know, China is one of the countries in the world with the most number of CCTV cameras installed, and they're often also using facial recognition technology to sort of identify residents of a certain city. Like, you know, a couple months back we had a story where like in Shenzhen you could get a fine for jaywalking because, you know, if they manage to use facial recognition to identify you jaywalking, they basically just send you a fine through WeChat. So yeah, it does seem like there is a very sort of delicate balance between surveillance and using facial recognition technology to sort of improve efficiency for things like when millions of people are trying to travel across China, either to get home or to get back to the city that they're working in. So Kong Ho, there's one more thing that we haven't spoken about where technology has vastly changed how people do things during Lunar New Year.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger, we used to with our elders to this Lunar New Year markets or bazaars, where they would have all these goodies, confectionery, decorations, cakes, all sorts of stuff that we would buy, so that relatives and friends who come visiting would have things to eat, because you're not supposed to be really cooking on the first day. Depending on the region where you're from.
You know, really? So,
yes.
You're not supposed to be cooking? Why?
It's not considered auspicious.
Huh.
Yeah. But you and I may have come from different parts of China like 10 generations ago. So.
No, my family cooks every year. I think I need to speak to my grandmother about this. Not sure. But anyway.
Yeah. So speaking, we used to make these visits to this markets. They still exist, but I think, you know, increasingly, even for myself, we buy a lot of these goodies online or have them delivered so that we don't have to lug them, you know, on busy subways and taking buses. So this is in line with how a lot of commerce is now taking place online as well. And so why not during Lunar New Year, you know, when, a lot of people are crowded in one place. And you can, you know, just go online and buy them.
Yeah, interestingly, obviously this shift to e-commerce is quite interesting, but another fun fact. So before Singles Day was a thing, the biggest shopping sort of festival tended to happen around Lunar New Year because people would be buying clothes or shoes, and then lots of sales would come out during this period of time. But anyway, that has been usurped by single sale.
But online shopping still has its limits, because if you try to buy anything now, if you put an order online now, you probably have to wait for 2 weeks, maybe more, for the parcel to reach your home, because all the couriers are back home celebrating Lunar New Year.
Yeah, not just the couriers, actually, even the merchants. Like, a lot of the shops, they generally write, like, oh, okay, if you're placing an order on the 28th of January, we can't ship it because, like, you know, they have a cutoff date for the couriers, and also these merchants are going home. So,
so you were buying clothes?
I wasn't buying clothes. I was just checking to see if I could buy things. I don't know. I use Taobao a lot, okay? No judgment. Like, Taobao's awesome. Like, I shop on Taobao all the time because it's like cheap. You can like find everything, you know. So on Taobao, like, what was I trying to buy? I don't remember. Oh, I think I was trying to buy a pillow. I don't know why I was trying to buy a pillow. But anyway, so like, and then it said you have to buy it by the 28th of January. Anyway, I didn't buy it. So I'll just resume my shopping. Like, I don't actually know when they come back. I think after the 15th day of the Lunar New Year.
Well, you can always go on Amazon, right?
Okay, Kong Ho, thanks for sitting in with me for our Lunar New Year edition of Inside China Tech. Where can people find you on Twitter?
At Chua Kong Ho.
That's at ChuaKongho. And if you want to tweet at me, I am at Zensu, ZenSoo. And don't forget, we're publishing stories 7 days a week at scmp.com/tech. Also, we are on like iTunes and Spotify or Stitcher. So if you enjoy our podcast, please rate us accordingly. And thanks for listening. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.